kindly join me in welcoming Pastor Jerry Dodson to come and take us from here. Pastor Jerry, you're most welcome.
But she sends her love, and I am honored to be with my grandson's favorite pastor, Pastor Pat. I was thinking a while ago when that Pastor Pat and I met, and it was probably somewhere around the year 2000, maybe had seen him before that, but had got to know him a little bit around that time, and it's been a privilege, Pat. I have a lot of love and respect for you, Daphne, and your kids. You know how you can find a good pastor? When their kids stand by them. Make a note of that. You can find a good father and mother when their kids stand by them. So that's that goes a long way. As I was thinking about what I would like to share with you this morning, there are so many things that I could share. I've seen so many miracles in this church, and it's been amazing. And I'm going to completely reverse what I had planned. Right? I came to this church on March 31, 1991 was my first Sunday with this church. There were four little ladies there, one very young lady, was, I might add. But there was a lady by the name of Sister Jenny who was the elder of the ladies, and just a beautiful lady. Beautiful lady. She had so much hope for this church. She had put so much money into seeing a church here in the area. She had given so much. She was retired. I had no idea how old she was. She told me one time, Pastor, if you ever need anything, you let me know. Then she had her sister with her, Emma Frazier. May the Lord give you a couple like that, Pastor. They loved me. They prayed for me. They cared for me. And then Sister Johnson. I didn't get to know her as well. Sister Johnson was semi-retired, I guess. She drove a school bus, and she had a beautiful family. Her husband used to come over and remove all the snow whenever it would snow, and wouldn't let the church pay them anything. He never came to church, but he always took care of things like that around the church. And then the fourth little lady was here this morning, Sister Zita Gale. Thirty-two years ago, and I count Sister Zita as one of the greatest blessings and friends in our life. She watched my children grow up. She was there when our youngest son was born. Took care of him many times. And I'm very, very grateful for that. There were three more people there that morning that I never got to know. Never got to know them. They didn't say it was their first Sunday there. I guess it was their first Sunday there. But they didn't say, didn't get to know them. But the other four did. My wife and I and our four children, we outnumbered the congregation. We saw so many miracles of God. But let me tell you just a little bit of how it came about. I'd been a very traditional pastor. Had pastored for about 10 years, I guess, before this church. Very traditional. Go to church on Sunday morning. We'll sing three songs. Sit down and let me do my thing. I've worked all week for it. Don't get too excited. I kind of equated getting excited in church like getting excited on The Price is Right. You know, it's just an emotional thing and we all respond differently. I did. That's who I was. I was at this church for 9 months and nothing had happened. Nothing at all had happened. We had not seen the first person come in the door. And I got up on a Monday morning and I went over to the church and I told God, I quit. I'm not doing any good. I've always been blessed to be able to hear the voice of God. And he said to me that morning, no. I said, God, please send me somewhere else. I'm not doing any good. And these four little ladies need fellowship. Again, he said, no. I said, I don't understand. I want to share with you a message that changed my life. God said to me that morning, he said, I've got people all over the Northern Virginia area, and I don't have a church to send them to. I said, God, I don't understand that. There's churches all over the area here. There's churches on every corner almost. He didn't say anything. I sat there for a moment, and then he said to me, if you'll let people worship, I'll bring them. I was not into worship. I didn't know about worship. I didn't, what little bit I had seen, I didn't like. Confession is good for the soul, right? And I said to the Lord that morning, well, you're not going to let me leave, so I'll do it. I don't know what you mean by let people worship, but I'll do it. If I get out of line, please nudge me. Don't kill me. Just nudge me. So all that week, I pondered what the Lord had said, and the following Sunday, I shared it with these four little ladies. They didn't have any more of a clue of what it meant than I did either. Or at least if they did, they didn't tell me. The following Wednesday night, there was a young man came to church, the first person that had come in that church that had any kind of potential of being part of that church. And he was a musician. And I've got to be careful here. Karen fusses at me all the time. She says, let go of the past. But this is a very important part of this church. He came in that Wednesday night, and his name was Tim Russell. Tim played piano and guitar and a few other things. And after the Wednesday night service, Karen and I were so excited to see someone, we just attacked this kid. We didn't let him out of there until after midnight, honestly. And after we had talked for a while, and he says, does anybody play that piano up there? And I said, no. Do you play? And he said, yeah. He said, would you mind if I play just a couple of songs? He said, I haven't played in so long. Now, I'm trying to let people worship, and I don't know anything about it. But I invited Tim and Karen, and Tim and I sang till about 12:30 that night. The following Sunday, I invited Tim to come and play, and he said, no, I can't on Sundays. I have to go to church with my aunt and uncle. It's the only family I have in the area. But on Saturday night, before Sunday, he called me, and he said, Pastor, if it's all right with you, I'd like to come to church tomorrow. The Lord has just laid it on my heart, and if you would like, I'll play the piano for you. And the following Sunday, we were in church, and Tim was there, and we're all excited. It's his second Sunday. And a car pulled up in front of the church, and three people got out, two of them carrying guitar cases. Remember, God said, you let them worship, I'll bring them. I'd never seen these people before, nor had anyone else there. They came in, they introduced themselves, and two gentlemen asked if it's all right with you, we'd like to play music this morning. The following Wednesday night, I was preaching at a church in Alexandria, and it was on a Wednesday night. I called my wife to tell her, okay, I'm coming out, before we had cell phones, tell her I was on my way home, and she said, we had another new family at church tonight. And I'm getting kind of suspicious of what God's doing here, and I said, how many of them are musicians? She said, one's a musician, but three of them sing. The following Sunday, we had more people on the platform than we had sitting in the congregation. And it never stopped. Just continue. But I had a lot to learn about worship. God said, if you will let them worship, I'll bring them. And I said, I don't know what you mean, but I'll do it. If I get out of line, nudge me. Please don't kill me. I'm just being honest with you. The church began to fill up in just a short period of time. And the Lord brought this lady. Her name was Ruth Verona. Some of you might know Ruth. Some of you might remember Ruth. Some of you here have met Ruth. Ruth was absolutely, without a doubt, to this day, the absolute best worship leader I have ever met in my life. And when Ruth came, people came. But things were getting out of hand in the worship. I'm very conservative. You know, you could put me on the Prices Right and they'd call my name and I'd just slowly walk down there. Nothing got me too excited. I remember one particular Sunday morning I was in church and the church was packed and people are dancing and they're raising their hands and they're doing all these things and I turned my back on the thing, on the church and I'm saying, God, is this really what you want? It makes no sense to me. I'm not as smart as he is, so I was very much aware of that. And then I turned back around and I'm looking, and he says, I want you to go and pray for this lady. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll give an altar call to you into the service and I'll pray with her. He said, I want you to pray for her now. And I said, Lord, that's not the way we do it. I did not know any better. We are no more than what we have been taught. Period. Until at some point in time, you sat down and the Holy Spirit said, now, if you will do it my way, I will bring blessings and prosperity into your life. And this lady, and I'm having this conversation with God, and I turned my back and I said, God, it's just, that's not the way it's we're supposed to do it. And I said, okay, God, I'll give in. I said, I'll tell you what, if I turn back around and that lady's crying, I'll go pray for her. Oh, my goodness. I turn around and she is crying, bawling. I go pray for her. Very uncomfortable. I mean, I'm definitely out of my comfort zone. That's when God can use you. I learned that. I've shared that with pastors. I developed a class. I work with a school now, and I developed a class on that. And I have seen churches grow it was a 10-month class. I've seen churches grow by 100 people in 10 months. But here's really the secret. Quit trying to hold on to tell God the way it's supposed to be done. And let the Holy Spirit take care of the church. You've heard about the Asbury Revival going on right now? I read something or saw something recently on the news about the Asbury Revival, and these kids didn't want to leave the chapel service. So the authorities of the school went in to shut this thing down and tell these kids to go to school. But when they got into the sanctuary, they just failed. They couldn't even get to the platform. My son was telling me that yesterday that he had listened to an interview with the president of Asbury College back in 1970 when this same thing had started. And the president of Asbury College said he was out of town. He was in Massachusetts, I believe, when this thing happened at Asbury. And he called the dean and said, shut this down and get these kids in school. And he said, sir, I can't shut it down. I don't think we should shut it down. I think this is something that God is doing. And he said, well, you're in charge of the school right now while I'm gone, but when I get back, I will shut it down. He said, when he got back, we have been so mistaken, folks. We don't have to worry about who's going to take care of the church. The Holy Spirit will take care of the church. When he got back, he went into the chapel to shut this thing down, and he said, I couldn't get any farther than the back pew. And I had to sit down, and I just wept as I repented of sins in my life. I learned how to dance. And let me tell you my first experience of dancing before the Lord. I went into the sanctuary one day. It was the middle of the week. Nobody around, right? But I locked the doors. And I turned on some music, and I tried to worship. I crossed another one of those comfort zones. I tried to worship and you know, try to do a little two-step thing. But God began to bless in so many ways. Now, from that, I want to share with you 3 points. Oh, one story I didn't tell you. Before anybody came within that first 9 months, before Tim ever showed up, Karen and I would go to the church every day, and we'd pray. Karen's my wife. And we would pray, and we'd kneel at the front pew and just pray. And one day, I got up, sat down on the chair. I'd finished praying, and Karen was still praying. And I'm waiting for her, and we would always end, but I would pray for her, she would pray for me. And she finished praying, and she looked up at me, and she said, I think God just told me something. I said, awesome. What did he say? Now, you got to remember, we didn't believe in prophecy. We didn't believe that God, you know, spoke a whole lot. Especially to, I mean, even though I had heard the voice of God a few times, I mean, but my wife. And she said, I think God said to me, if we need $1 or $1 million, it's all the same to him. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you take anything away from this service today, take these 2 things. Let the Holy Spirit take over. Don't question what he does. And you need to be close enough to the Lord that you know when it's the Holy Spirit. And whatever your need is, whether it's big or small, it's all the same to God. But Karen had said that, and I said, okay, I believe God for $1 million. Wouldn't you? Isn't that what you'd rather you respond? We had 2 little pieces of property worth about $150,000 apiece. That we sold for $2 million. I believe for $1 million. Got 2. Amen. I was sitting in a meeting one day with a developer sitting in the boardroom. We were looking at some properties, and they were looking at property, but looking at buying our property. And they had already agreed to pay us $2 million for that little $300,000 $100,000 piece of property. And there's so many stories I could tell about that, but we're limited to the time here. We only have one day, right? And I'm sitting there, and this gentleman said to me, I didn't know him. I'd met him a couple of times. He said to me, Pastor, it's going to take a lot of money to build that building out that you're looking at. I said, I know. He said, how much you got? And I said, I got $300,000 in the bank. A long way from four people and no money, right? And he said, that's not enough. I said, I know, but it'll get us started. He said, I'm going to give you $300,000 today. Now, this is one point I want to get across. God gave me a thought, and I coined this, and I've shared it with many people. There is never a shortage of money. There is only a shortage of vision. Did you get that? Vision comes from God. There's never a shortage of money. There's only a shortage of vision. People buy vision. So many people are wandering around in the world, in churches. There's no goal. They're not going anywhere. They really want to be a part of something that God is doing, but they don't know how, and there's no one to lead them. There is never a shortage of money. There's only a shortage of vision. Hey, let me share one more miracle thing that happened to me one time. A prophetic word, and I don't believe it's in prophetic, right? I'm trying to learn about it. I mean, we had seen the miracles of God. We had seen things going, and I had someone visiting in the area, and they asked, you know, it was Mickey Mingo, was my worship leader's father, and she said, could my father speak one sometime while he's here? And I thought, sure, we'll do that, because I didn't want to lose her. And she said, my dad's a real prophet. And I thought, okay. I said, I'll put him on Wednesday night, because there won't be too many people there on Wednesday night, and I can control it. And this is what he said to me. This has been about 27 years ago. I thought, okay, he's finished preaching. Now, who's he going to call out? Guess who he called out? Me and Karen, the only people he ministered to that night. And this is a word that he gave me. He said, from this day forward, you'll never have another financial need in your life. Any time that you ever have a need for money, you will have that money before you ever need it. Being the person that I was, this is my response. Just to God, I didn't tell him that. Well, actually, I guess it's to myself. I said, if I believe this, if I believe this, would I think this is for me, or would it be for this church? But let me testify. We had about 25 people in the church at that time. From that day to this day, some 27, 28 years later, I have never had a financial need that I did not have the money for. Nor has this church. When we built this building, it was $2.6 million, and we paid cash for it. There has never been a financial need that wasn't taken care of. And, Pastor, I want to pass that word to you today. I want to pass that word to you today. Whatever your situation is. Remember the song we used to sing? There's no secret to what God can do and what He's done for others, He'll do for you. I pray that God will bless your financial needs, that you'll never have another financial need in your life that you don't have the money before you need it. There are three things that I learned from those experiences. Number one was you must have vision. You must know where the church is going. And it doesn't matter where you think it should go. It's a matter of what is God telling you and what is God wanting to do with it. The second thing that I learned is the most important thing that I could possibly do as a pastor and for that church was to commit my life to a life of prayer. I started to invite someone here today, but I didn't because they're going to another church today, and I believe they need to be, you know, where they go to church. But I met a gentleman, I figured it out, 31 years ago, around 31 years ago, by the name of Kevin Jones. Kevin Jones is the most dedicated man of prayer I've ever met. And I was invited to go out and do some street evangelism, which it's not my thing. I don't feel comfortable doing it. But when you're trying to get new people and one of them invites you to do something, you just go along and do a little song and dance, you know. But I met Kevin that day, and Kevin and I became friends. And 31 years later, Kevin and I talk 2 to 3 times a week. We pray together. We share with each other. We pray for one another. He changed my life. He changed my life because he brought into my life a segment of prayer and a fellowship of prayer that made all the difference in the world. And for those of you that may not know, Kevin recently had a heart attack. Did you know that? He's doing well, doing good. The third thing that I want to share, that you absolutely must have a commitment to the Holy Spirit. Must be a commitment to the Holy Spirit. You can question Him. You can question Him. Along the lines of all that, within the first couple of years, I don't know where we were in attendance or anything at that point, or financially, we were doing well. And the Holy Spirit said to me one day, he said, I want you to cancel Sunday night services. And I thought, this can't be God. This can't be God. I mean, every church had Sunday night service back at that time. And I prayed about it. I prayed about it, talked to the church about it. Some people got upset about it. And I thought, God, is this really you? And I said, Lord, we need the offering. surely you're not telling me to cancel Sunday night church. And he says, yes, I am. I canceled Sunday night church. Our attendance went up. Our offerings went up. Everything. Not because we were missing a service, but because I followed the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter how odd it is. I was preaching in church one Sunday morning, and now I'm getting into this charismatic side of myself. You know, I believe in prophecy. I believe in the power of God. I believe in all these things. You guys are probably way ahead of where I was. And I had a lady, her name was Karen Verona, Mom Karen, everybody called her, because she had a daughter-in-law named Karen also. Mom Karen was there that Sunday, and she had been in the hospital, and the doctors told her she had cancer. To go home, there was no more they could do. Enjoy Christmas with the family. It would be her last one. And I'm preaching that Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit says, tell Karen Verona she will not die, but she'll live. And I'm trying to get to the place that I don't question everything that God says. But that's a big one. Doctor says, you're dying. But I stopped the service, stopped preaching, and I said to Karen, you will not die, you're going to live. The Lord just told me that. And Karen lived another 20, 25 years after that. So many miracles. had a family call me one time. They said, we've got a baby 2 weeks old. He can't eat anything. They're going to have to put him in the hospital on Monday if he doesn't change. Could we bring him to church on Sunday? Would you pray for him? And I said, sure. They brought him to church on Sunday. They said on the right-hand side. It was in the other building. And I don't know, at some point I just went over and picked up the baby and I just began to pray and bless. And I gave the baby back to him. The baby went home, began to eat, and hadn't stopped. Been 22 years, hadn't stopped eating. So many miracles. So many miracles. Never doubt the voice of God and never doubt your ability to hear the voice of God. Have enough confidence in yourself that you believe that God can use even you. I heard someone say the other day, if we didn't need a Savior... Let me back that up. They said, if we didn't have problems in our life, we wouldn't need a Savior. I'm going to try to bring my part to a close here. I'm getting a little long, and I don't mean that. But prayer, vision, and commitment will take you any place you want to go and will provide all the finances you need to get there. And God will not only bless what you're working on, He will bless you to the point that 27 years later you can say, I've never had a financial need in my life that I didn't have the money beforehand. That has nothing to do with me. It's just a blessing that God decided to give me some 27, 28 years ago, and I walked in that blessing, and I've never had a time that I needed finances that God didn't have it there before I actually needed it. Today is a very special service, commissioning service. Pastor Moses, I am so honored to be with you and your wife today. This is a turning point in your life. It doesn't matter what ministry you've been in before. Today it's a new day. It's a new assignment, a new place. And I'm honored that your pastor, Pastor Pat, is here. I want to... This message is for you, the two of you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience in teaching. Always be patient with people. Sometimes it can be a challenge. Sometimes it can be a challenge. For the time is coming, and it is today, I added that part, when people will not endure sound teachings, but having itching ears, they will accumulate to themselves teachers to suit their own passion. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myth. As for you, always, Pastor, be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Being called to the office of a pastor is a very noble thing. Very joyous occasion, joyful occasion. But it also comes with, and today you will feel the weight of God's responsibility upon your shoulders, the two of you. It's a responsibility that the Bible says that you will be judged more than the average person. You will be looked at differently. You will live in a glass house, so to speak, and people will judge you. I first charge you to preach the word. Secondly, I charge you before God to lead both strong and patient. Third, I charge you to be sober-minded about your life and your ministry. How many ministers do we have here today? Okay. 3, 4. Okay. This next one will change your life. Never neglect your family. My wife talks today about the years that we spent here, and she said, do you realize you never had dinner with the family, never had dinners with the kids? There's a little exaggeration there. I'm sure I did once or twice in those years. She said, every time we would sit down to dinner, the phone would ring. Take into consideration. I know you just got home from work and you probably ate at McDonald's on the way home. But take into consideration the pastor needs time with the family also. Pastor, you will love all the people here the same, but one person in this congregation will be your number one member, and that is your wife. If you neglect her, there is no way of making it up. The Bible says in one place that if a leader is having trouble not seeing prayers answered, begin to examine yourself and your relationship with your wife. It is amazing how that the voice of God sometimes can sound just like her. Don't take the things that she says lightly. I got another prophetic word one time while we were here. And it's a little, kind of a funny one. My wife still mentions this one. I don't remember exactly who it was, but it went something like this. Pastor, your mind is all over the place, and you're out doing this, and you're doing that, and you're getting this one, you're getting that one, and you're just kind of keep, you know, you're just busy. But your wife watches the fence line. And she looks for trouble. I've had my wife come up to me and say, be careful of that lady. And when she says that, I'm going to be very, very careful. When my wife and I first got married, she bought a book and she said, I want us to read this together. The name of the book was Hedges by Jerry Jenkins. And it later they changed the title to Loving Your Marriage Enough to Save It. And it talked about, as a minister, never ever put yourself in a situation to where somebody could say something about you in meeting with another lady or something like that. It talked about being very, very careful of what you do and the way that you act before the public. So, Pastor, I am so excited for you. I could not be more honored to turn this church over to anyone else. I left here about 15 years ago. The church did well without me. And it's been good. But it's such an honor, Pastor Moses. I appreciate you so much, the way you have cared for these people at arm's length. I mean, not being the pastor over the last year, but yet you were there for them. You took care of needs and you did this and that. I would like to ask you and your wife to come up this morning. And if we may, we would like to lay hands on you, Pastor Pat. If there's other ministers that would like to join with us, I would invite you to come. And members of the board here, Doug and Zita and Danny and Tracy. And Anyone else? Do we have any anointing oil? Pastor Daphne, would you join us? Wow. Did we come up with any oil? Okay, that's all right. Pastor Pat, you have served as pastor of this family for quite some time. I'd like for you to lay hands on them with me. And we just want to ask the Holy Spirit to impart unto them today the wisdom, the vision, and everything that they need. And the faith to believe that God will open doors and provide everything that is needed for this church and where it's at today. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this man and this woman. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will impart unto them today the vision that you have for this church. I ask you, Lord, that you would direct them. I thank you, Lord, for the humbleness that I have seen in this pastor. Lord, I believe he's a man that will listen to you. And I ask you, Lord, to just lay upon him today the mantle of the leadership of this church, and that he will be blessed to move forward and the church will follow him.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, to raise him up before the people, that they will see the hand of God upon his life. I ask you, Lord, to bless him. I ask you, Father, to bring people from the north, the south, the east, the west, people that need what this church carries.
Yes,
I ask you, Lord, to place upon him a love greater than he's ever had, a love for people, a love for God, a love for prayer, a love for your disciplines. In Jesus' precious name, Pastor Pat.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought them to this church for such a time as this. We thank you, O God, that you have been preparing them, O God, Lord, as they have been faithful, Lord, in your house. So now, O Lord, we thank you, O God, for that which you've put within their heart. Lord, the hope, the faith, O God, looking forward to that which you would do by your Spirit. Thank you that this is a couple of prayer. Mm-hmm. Thank you that this is a woman of intercession, Father, that sees, O God, and hears and knows. Thank you, O God, Lord, that the two of them, O Lord, the teaching mantle, the preaching mantle upon my brother, O God, Lord, to break open the word of God and to feed the flock of God. Father, I thank you, O God, for those who are hungry, Lord, those who are thirsty, O God, Lord, whom this couple, O God, this house, O God, Lord, would fill, O God, and nourish, O God, and Lord, take care of the flock of God over which you've made them overseers.
Yes,
Father, we thank you, O God, Lord, for those people, Lord, that you have ordained, Lord, to be added to the kingdom and added to this house. Lord, to bring you praise and to bring you glory, O God. Thank you that they stand equipped this day by the power of your Holy Spirit resident within them. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Help me through this, because he has saved my life so many times.